Welcome back to another episode of Camp Time is Real Time. I'm your host, Sarah Labreck, and this week, it's Wesley Hughes. This is a big get, I feel like, because Wes was central to camp for a long time. He started as a camper in 1994 and was there through all of the aughts, I believe. And it was great catching up with him. Wes was a few years younger than me, but we overlapped, you know, a lot at camp. And it was really good to hear from someone who has been away from camp for a long time, for about 10 years, he said, and just reflect on everything that camp meant and how it prepared him for life. So that is a theme from this whole podcast. This was a really, really good one. You're really going to enjoy it. Okay, housekeeping. Guys, who else do you want to hear from? Send me a note, send me an email or on Instagram. Let me know who else you want to hear from. We have some really good ones coming up, but you know, we gotta keep them coming. All right, that's all I have for you for now. Enjoy this one and we will see you next time. Bye.
But yeah, but I started in 1994. And I'm pretty sure about this, and like maybe, you know, I can reach out to Scott because we haven't talked in forever and confirm this, sure. But I'm pretty sure Scott Sorensen and I were like in the same tribe every year,
yeah.
Like all the way from Tenderfoots with Bonnie, like until like, you know, we became CITs.
Yeah.
Because it was a big deal for us. Like, I think around the time we were like E1s is when like Dan McNicholas and Jack Cowell, like were kind of like, you know, placed in the same group as us. And like, We got into a lot of mischief at that point. But I started in 94 with Bonnie. And well, it's interesting. I was trying to think, cause like you, I think you were like a CIT or an assistant, at least from, you know, part of when me and Scott were like, you know, campers.
Yeah.
And I think we might've had you, like, I have a memory of like being in the Comanches with like Corey Burns as our head.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I think you might have been, like, either his assistant or CIT for, like, me and Scott, like, for a week or something.
Yeah, that would have been, I was an assistant. Yeah, because Corey's just a year older than me. Oh, yeah. I bet I have a picture of that. So I do remember having Scott at some point. So it must have been that year. It was the final session of the year, and I was with the Comanches, and my memory from that session is Corey and I just listened to the song Winds of Change by the Scorpions, like on repeat, but not sure if that left an impression on the Comanches or not, but that's what I remember.
Yeah. Like I don't have like a lot of like specific memories from that time. Like,
yeah.
I just remember things like, what's this piece, like Dave, who did like all of the juggling and stuff at Pioneer Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember Corey, I remember there were like a lot of skits involving like Carly Cedarquest at that point.
That's great.
And I think like I was like a six-weeker for maybe like 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
But I just remember like I had such a fear of missing out on like the third session. Because like, you know, you'd always come back the next year and you'd hear about the things you missed out on, like oatmeal and like the carnival, and well, there was always a risk that like everyone would hold off like a visit from like the Dells like lemonade truck until like the third session. So it was just like you had to be really hopeful, and you know, just in case you didn't miss it or anything,
that type of stuff. I feel like they would do for a long time, it was like you kind of knew what was going to happen each session, so yeah. you were coming back to camp and everyone was like, dude, you missed all this stuff.
Yeah, and I was just like, ugh.
Oh, no. Good friends.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and I think, you know, I've heard some other people say it in other episodes, but it's just like, and you've said it as well, but just like, even if you miss like a day of camp,
yeah,
like you could be so behind by the time you come back just because of how much could have happened. Like,
yeah, and no way of getting it back.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No way of knowing the the exact specifics to everything to lead to this like seemingly innocuous thing to someone on the outside, but you're like, no, like a lot went into it, I'm sure.
Yeah, because like especially if it was like either like you missed like a new chant that was invented, or like a new call and response. And like that would just be like the most important thing that was going on at camp at the time, you know, because it would just go through the cycles of like, okay, this is really funny. And then it's like, it's getting a bit tired, and maybe Tom's gonna get, you know, rolling his eyes a bit. But then that makes it funnier because, like, we have to bring it back. Like, so yeah, so it's just like, you know, you miss one of those and you're like done. It's just like, you can try and be cool and, like, you know, pretend you're in on the joke, but it's like, no,
Yeah.
you miss something precious.
That's right. And you know it too. You're like, yeah, no, this is what we do. I don't know the origin. you just gotta go with it.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
so funny. Oh, I love it. See, I love it when people can put into words this stuff. Oh, it's so good. Did you know you wanted to be a CIT? Like, or were you like, we'll see what happens next year? Like, I'm not sure. I might do something else.
Oh, no. Like, especially after my first year at camp, I had just like drunken the junior juice Kool-Aid so deeply that I was like, you know, ride or die for camp.
Love it.
Because this is interesting, and I have like I'm trying to think of a couple of good stories, but you know, since I grew up in Medfield, I kind of, you know, th there's sort of that fear of like, oh, everyone lives more in kind of like close to Franklin and Bellingham, and you kind of feel like you're missing out on some things. But
Right.
like the interesting thing was, you know, like back in the day, like Tom Cowell was like a gym teacher at Wheelock, where I think Carrie is still the librarian. And so I had like Tom as a gym teacher for like a year or two.
Very
L
cool.
like, so, but it was like a really interesting switch because, you know, at first I was like really excited. It's like, this is Tom, and this is like kind of like camp in the off season, and maybe I'm getting like a little bit something extra.
Yeah.
But you know, there's still kind of like those barriers of like, well, now Tom is Mr. Cowell, and that's already like a really big change. And
Right.
you know, he's not wearing like, you know, the signature hat with the feather and like the suspenders with the buttons and everything.
Yeah.
And like the, you know, types of games we do in you know, gym class, like it wouldn't just be like, you know, games, like, you know, just
Right.
recycle. It was like kind of different things.
Yeah.
But it was like really interesting because like Tom is still Tom, and like, especially like, you know, since I don't think I was the only like FCDC camper, like, you know, there's still that twinkle in his eye, like he's kind of like privy to everybody, you know, just, you know, kind of remembering faces and names and things.
Yeah.
So like that was always a special thing. And actually, and you know, I have some specific stories about these two, but various points too. Like, well, John Panciacco had like a really big role in my high school life because he was like my history teacher at one point.
Oh, well,
Yeah,
that's a
and he like,
unique perspective on the pod. Tell us, Wes.
yeah. Okay, so this is kind of a really interesting story because like John kind of changed my life, and you know, I'm like still processing, you know, everything that happened. But you know, so and it actually involves Tom too, now that I think about it. But like at the end of eighth grade, like I'm, you know, I'm finishing up eighth grade, I'm going into ninth grade. I had this like, you know, weird thing happened where like history was like my best subject in school, and I was like really passionate about it at that point in my life. And Tom had like latched on to this when I was at camp, and he was always kind of giving me like U.S. history trivia questions, and like we would try and stump each other, you know. And it was the thing because he just knew so much because he's a huge history buff,
Yeah.
so like you could never stump him, and he was like really good at it. So like, you know, like I was really excited about history, and like for some reason, and to this day I don't know, I don't think my parents know, but even though I had the grades for it, I was placed in like the non-honors like history class in high school for like my freshman year, and I was really upset about it because I was like, no, like I want to be in the honors class, like this is really important to me. So I go in for my first day, and my parents are like, well, like kind of feel it out, and we can always like see if we can kind of, you know, switch you out later if we need to. So I go in, and I go into the class of one John Panciacco,
Oh my God.
and you know, he's just like introducing himself, and like I don't know how it came up, but he like in an offhanded way had mentioned like, oh yeah, and like I used to be a counselor at this place called Franklin Country Day Camp. And I was like, wait a minute, Franklin Country Day Camp? I go to Franklin Country Day Camp.
Right.
And he's like, wait, really? And so like, and I remember this very clearly because he's like, well, if you went to Franklin, you know, CDC, like if I said to you, I'm a hayseed, And then like we kind of just had to go through like the whole camp song, as like the rest of the class is just like, this is the weirdest thing we've ever seen. Like, you know, shouldn't we be talking about history and stuff? Because like basically from that day on, it was just like the Wes and John show, and the, you know, plus like, you know, like a history class in the background. Because, you know, at that point, I don't think John had come back to camp. I think it was like a year or two before he like made his resurgence. So like we were just like catching up on like all the stuff we had missed. And well, one funny thing was, and I think you were a video counselor at the time with Greg Bell, but we had done like a camp skit where I was like an evil camper. And there's just a lot of hilarious things I remember. Like I remember, like, you know, like there was a little segment of it where I'm stealing like Greg Bell's lunch from like, you know, the stables. And like, you know, like there was like a lot of inserts of me just like, you know, kind of stealing his dessert, which was just some like prepackaged cookies. And Greg had this hilarious line, you know, and eventually I got my comeuppance of like, Wes, my mom homemade those cookies for me. Like as you see me like clearly unpackaging it and everything. But so it's, you know, it was a more memorable skit, I think, at the time. And I think it culminated with me just being kind of forced to listen to like, I think it was like, you know, Liz at music, like just singing or something. And that was kind of how I was like redeemed, is just being forced to like sit and listen to it. But I was like catching John up on this. So like for the rest of high school, he just called me Evil One. And he did it in his like very signature John way of just like, Evil One. You've answered a lot of questions today, so we're going to open it up to the rest of the class, because I was absolutely like a teacher's pet, you know, and I had him for history. And it was amazing because, like, you know, John was always John, like, throughout it. So, like, we did things like I remember we built like a trebuchet, you know, like a catapult, like when we were doing like a medieval history period, like in the school courtyard, you know, just so he could kind of explain like, you know, the mechanics of siege weaponry. And that was like a big deal for everybody, because like it's like, yeah, we got a catapult now. And I remember like he did this signature thing, which, you know, in the same way John would kind of always have those like amazingly wholesome sort of like, you know, like pranks at camp. I just remember anytime someone in his class would like fall asleep. And it like happened a couple of times, which is like the real funny part, like, you know, because how could you fall asleep? He would just like keep lecturing, like he would take it in stride. He'd just be kind of like side-eyeing them, like, okay, like, you know, I got a victim. And he would slowly trail off in his voice, just like as he's lecturing. And he would make the class, like everyone who was paying attention, just be like dead silent. And then he would motion, and we kind of knew the drill by the end of the year, where we all had to, as quietly as we could, take off our shoes. And then one by one, we would just quietly sneak out of the classroom as like whoever is just, you know, their face planted on their desk asleep. And like the way this classroom worked that he had, it was kind of like a fishbowl. So like you could like kind of see what was going on inside class. So like, you know, the bell would ring, and then whoever was sleeping would pop up and be like, what? Oh my gosh, like what happened? And then they would like turn, and like all of us would just be watching them from the hallway. And then like John would come in, like, oh, hello. And how was your nap? Like, were you comfortable? Did you have enough pillows? You know?
Oh my God,
So it
that's
was just the,
amazing.
yeah, it was the most epic long game, like in terms of like teacher pranks.
That's wild that you had him before he had come back to camp. When he eventually came back, were you still in high school, or and did you have him, or?
I think I only had him for ninth grade, but like I think he came back when I was like a sophomore or like a junior, like right as I was either like a second year CIT or like a first year assistant.
Did you work with him? Like, were you in
Oh
his rep?
yeah, like I don't think I ever got placed with him in like adventure, but it was just like enough to kind of like see him every day at camp. And you know, like I would see him all the time for like the next 3 years of high school. And especially when I was getting ready for college, like you know, his wife Krista like had like kind of like a college prep service at the time that like I used, so like I got to work with her. And like John had written like my college letter of recommendation, which like to this day is just like all the warm and fuzzies, you know.
Oh my
So
gosh.
he was just like a a mentor to me, like throughout all of high school, in a way where it's just I don't have the words to express like my gratitude and my love for him. And because it was just I would see him all the time, and like even just as like a senior in high school, like goofing off with friends, like he I would just hear, "Oh, hello, evil one."
That's awesome. There's like nothing
Yeah.
cooler than that, right? Being like having one of the having your favorite teacher, like having like a thing, you know? Like there's, I don't know, there's nothing cooler than that. And then add
Yeah.
in the fact that he works at camp. My goodness.
Well, the best was like when I was in high school too, and I think I must have been like a senior or junior. But like I just remember too, like for a couple of times, like in my French class, I think I had Sam Cowell as a substitute for French. Because if memory
Oh,
serves, he speaks really good French.
yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Oh
Yeah, no, so it was kind of incredible because it would just be like you'd be seeing John in the hallway, and then just abruptly, like Sam like was sitting in for French class, and like it just became like, okay, like we got to go over all the camp stuff that happened. Like,
yep.
yeah, maybe some of it'll be in French, but like let's get down to brass tacks. Like, we got a lot we have a lot to catch up on, because that point I was like pretty good friends with Jack.
Oh my gosh. So you were living basically the dream, all right, of my
Oh
camper
yeah.
self. Yeah, like it's like not only do you it's like in the off season, you have multiple encounters with staff. Like that was all I wanted as a camper growing up. And like, I was like, I just want to run into people because I'm from Holliston. So same thing. It just not Franklin, right? There weren't a ton of us at camp. So
Yeah.
any little piece of it, I was like, oh yes, like give me that. But you're just like, oh no, I got all the best ones right here. I'm
Well, yeah,
Wes.
and like there's just this mysticism when you're a camper where, because like the counselors like put so much energy into kind of just being emotively big about things, like you just end up worshiping them, and there's just this mystique of like, oh my gosh, like what happens if I see like like a counselor outside a camp, or even some of my camp friends.
Yeah.
Because like I remember like just like the only movie theater around, because I was like a huge movie buff in high school, like was in Bellingham. So like I'd go with friends, and occasionally I would just run into camp friends, and like immediately you start speaking in camp code about things, and
Yep.
you're just with your high school friends, like, dude, like what are you guys even saying? Like
Don't,
you
yeah. Don't
yeah,
worry about
don't worry about it, you wouldn't get it, it's camp code.
it.
Yeah, because well, and the other fun thing is too, is like since I grew up in Medfield, like it was even more fun in that era, like in high school, because like my parents live right around the corner from Blue Moon, so it's just like we had sort of discovered Blue Moon before, like it was a thing at camp,
Yep.
and everything with Ty,
Yeah.
because it was like a big deal when like Blue Moon came to Medfield, because like you just couldn't get like good bagels like anywhere like nearby, like you'd have to go into like Brookline or something maybe.
Right.
So like when Blue Moon came to Medfield, it was like a big deal. And then like when it like there was me discovering the camp connection like through Ty and the Friedmans and everything, it's like, oh, th this
Oh.
is an even bigger deal.
Wes, oh my God. Everything
Yeah.
at your fingertips.
No, seriously. Yeah, no, because like well, it's funny, my sister was never really into camp, but like she did work at Blue Moon for a while, so it was just like still kind of like rolled into camp even when like it's not quite your thing, like. Well, it's interesting, like Sue Coe, who was like the head music counselor for a lot of that era, like I was paired with her a few times, and that was like a really fun experience ultimately, because I remembered like, oh, like I'm getting really into music, like should I maybe try and like make a play to kind of succeed Sue, because I was part of
Yeah.
that year of like, and I think it was like Scott and Jack and maybe Dan McNicholas. Whereas just like the heads weren't moving on, so like we were all like assistants for an extra year.
Yeah, Scott mentioned that. Yeah.
And like Tom was trying to be like really creative to like give us like a little bit more responsibility wherever he could kind of put us, just to kind of make it feel like we see you guys and we're figuring this out. It's just maybe an unprecedented thing in like the
Right.
cycle of camp.
Right.
So I remember like asking Sue like a couple of days, like, oh, like could I try like maybe leading some activities, like just testing some curriculum
Yeah.
just to see if like maybe this was something I could do. And you know, I think I was like 16 or 17, and just like I was like, yeah, like, you know, I'll come up with all these things that I could do with like the different age groups, and you know, I've overprepared and it'll be great. And I remember, and Sue was very gracious, and she's like, yeah, you know, like that would be incredible, like, you know. And I remember like I got like 10 to 15 15 minutes in with one tribe and just ran out of things. And I was like, oh, I grossly underestimated what it takes to make this like really engaging. And so like Sue very gracefully like swooped in, and like I just remember from that day on being like, oh my gosh, like you know, this woman is a treasure, like she's just so good at what she does in like a really underappreciated way. Like so that
Wow.
was like a very like ego killing, like humbling moment of like, okay, I am not suited to be a music counselor just by virtue of the fact that like Sue is just so much better at me than this. Like, oh my gosh, like
Wow. That's a great story. I didn't know that. I didn't know. Did you come back the next year? Were you eventually ahead?
I wasn't I think my last summer was 2009. And I think around that time, like I remember like Scott was kind of debating, like, because I think he was leading video with Kyle that year, like if that was his last year. And I remember like Julia Warren, for instance, I think was having a similar debate because like she and I used to be very close friends.
Oh, nice.
No, so like I think 2009 was my last year, because I remember yeah, it would have I would have been between like you know, my sophomore year and junior year of college, and that was when I really decided like I wanted to go all in on music.
Yeah.
So the next year I had to transition to just like, you know, I think I was taking like private lessons with a couple of composers in Boston, and
Yeah.
what would I do if I went back? I think I'd gun really hard for Woodlore.
Oh,
Yeah.
like it. Why would you go for Woodlore?
Well, it's just, you know, nowadays, like, you know, I just love hiking. I love being outside and doing camping and all that. But I just remember when I was a kid, and I think this is between the ages of like 5 to maybe, I want to say like, you know, 9 or 10. We, you know, the counselors back then, I think, could just get away with a lot more because there was like a lot less supervision. So like, you know, it'd be the sort of thing where like, you know, counselors just be like, oh, everybody hold up, we're walking in the woods, here's this random root and it tastes like root beer if you suck on it, you know, or like,
Yeah.
oh, like here are these very specific types of leaves and like how you tell them apart, or you know, because it's just like spelunking in the woods, and like, oh, like here's all these cool little, you know, sort of like you know, Boy Scout or Girl Scout kind of adjacent facts and things.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, we're making like decorative poo sticks and racing them, you know, in the river off the bridge. Because I was the assistant there a couple of times, and it was just like I remember having like the most fun.
Who was the head when you were the assistant?
I've been trying to remember that. I think it was just like a counselor who was just there for like maybe one summer, and
Yeah.
I think her name might have been Emily, but I'm just like blanking really hard.
It mattered less the activity you were in and more who you were with.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, and just like even as a especially as a young like a CIT and a younger assistant, because you were still looking up to these people as gods. So it like in the event that you're placed in an activity with them, it's like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, like arts and crafts. I love arts and crafts, you know? And it's like, you know, that I have no nexus to arts and crafts, but I'm like the two people working here are like I look up to like, you know, like no one else. So I'm just curious about that because you can, and Tom said it too. He's like, you know, a lot of the people we have, you can plug and play anywhere. Like what's important is their camp people that like that they understand what we're doing here and kind of get it. And you know what? We don't need an Eagle Scout in pioneering. We need someone who can do pioneering at camp. And that's a distinction right there.
No, that's definitely true. Like it was definitely true for me, because I remember when I was a CIT, I you know, and I like love camp, but I was just I remember I was like, you know, like a little bit tightly wound, but very much like a try hard of like, oh, I have to be like the best CIT in terms of the activity. And I think it was by like my second year as a CIT, and just by virtue of like being placed with like amazing people, that I realized, okay, like it's cool to be good at the things. It's not really about the things, because there really is like a lot of like dead time, like in a lot of activities where you're
Yeah.
just like kind of sitting, and you know, and it's really more about like, you know, I don't want to qualify it as like, oh, you have to be a cool hang. Like, I think that's part of it, but it's just being able to kind of like be present socially and just kind of like put out good vibes and receive good vibes and like, you know, kind of create that environment for everybody around you.
Well, I think you've nailed it because it is being a cool hang in, but not using the word cool in a typical sense. It's cool as in like accessible to everyone who's there. And like you're right, those moments, those downtime moments, those are the things that kids go home and talk to their parents about or their grown-ups at home. They're like, oh, what'd you do today? Did you do boating, archery? No, but Wes told me the funniest joke when we were like sitting around. It's like it's those moments. And I think that Tom had a special knack, and I'm certain that Sam does too, for finding the people who excel at that point. Because it's like it's different than being an expert at something. It's just like knowing how to get along with kids and get along with people you're with. And yeah, so I think that's a very astute observation by you. And then one that, you know, I think it's cool also that we have these like very young kids working there. CITs are young kids. But they pick up those lessons, right? And they're like,
Oh, yeah.
oh, here's a nice way to go through life. So it's just like, I don't know, the place like kind of keeps giving on so many levels without that being a mission. It's just like a byproduct that you can count on every year, which I think is amazing. So.
Yeah, because I think especially like in the process of maybe like moving from camper to CIT to assistant, you know, because it like I was part of the generation where it's like that started to get pretty competitive. But I just remember like I have like two specific memories, one of them involving you actually that I was just thinking about the other
Oh
day.
boy.
But I remember like when I was like, you know, my first year of being a CIT, I think it was, I was still more in like kind of a camper headspace of like, oh, this is just sort of like I get to be a camper and but I like get to be a bit more involved and see behind the scenes of what actually goes on. And this is kind of like, you know, exciting in a different way, but I, you know, still like in, you know, kind of one foot in the camper headspace. And I think that's a common place for like a lot of first year CITs, because like, you know, maybe the arc of that year for you is going from like, oh, like I understood camp as a camper and I'm like letting that go to now see it in like a different way as part of growing up. But I remember like, you know, because it's the thing like with campers especially where it's like, oh, you know, it's saying you want counselors to get in trouble so bad, you know, just for like your gray squirrel or especially like your dead ants moments. And it's like, you know, you just look for that opportunity. So it's like, you know, like if anything of note happened, like immediately you hear like kind of the cat calls from the back, dead ants, ooh, dead ants, you know? And I remember like as a first year CIT, I don't remember who it was, but I was like, oh, like, you know, maybe like a head counselor or someone like wasn't wearing shoes or something and walking around camp. So I was like, okay, this is my opportunity. Like, I think this was semester one. I'm gonna get them. So like, I went up to sing to try and get them in trouble. And I just remember, you know, because like it's a court of public opinion. Like, you get a chance to defend yourself. And I don't remember who the head was, but they're just like, yeah, I don't care. I probably was. And then like from the back, like I remember hearing your voice, "Hey, Wes. Why don't you do dead ants?" And it was instantly flipped on me. So as like you know, like the foolish CIT, like you know, you immediately do your dead ants, and it's like you learn, like okay, you know, if you're going for the king, like you know, don't miss.
Best not miss.
You know, so I'm just like, okay, lesson learned. I think it was like my first year as an assistant, my first post. And I'm pretty sure I'm right about this because maybe it was my second year, but I think it was my first year. Like first week, it was me and Katie Sorensen as the head of games,
Oh, a
and
dream.
then Brittany Cloud McLeod as like our CIT.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah, and it was just like, you know, I just remember that being like, you know, we're talking about kind of like, you know, kind of the more social aspect of like good vibes, like. That was like the ultimate, like, you know, 2 weeks and just like good vibes is just like that setup. Because it's like, you know, you're setting up like, okay, like kids are playing Smog's Jewels or, you know, whatever. You're just sitting on the picnic table.
Yep.
And it's just like, yeah, like just the most positive sort of like vibes being made, like just talking about nothing and everything kind of like.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's huge. I mean, Katie Sorensen, of course, right? The best, the absolute best. And then you got Brittany McLeod, just a legend at camp, bringing in the S Club 7.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I remember like I was always put in junior camp for at least like one session.
Ooh.
Because I remember working with Bonnie a couple of times, and that was really special.
Yeah.
Just because like you know, it's like I started out as like a 5-year-old with Bonnie, so
Yeah.
and she remembers everything, you know. So it's like,
That's
you know,
awesome.
she was I can't remember any of them, but she was like remembering stories about like me and Scott and like some of our friends, like from like way back in the day, where I'm just like, how do you even remember this? You know,
Right. Yeah.
but you know, so I was always put in junior camp. So I was either with her or I think wasn't it Amanda who was in charge of the Mohawks for like a
Yep.
couple? Yeah,
That's
so I was
yep.
put with Amanda, and we had some like really fun times too. And I think I even had like I think Julia Warren, like one of her first years. It was like my first year as an assistant, and one of her first years as being a CIT. So I
Oh.
think like that's how we became friends. Is like
Oh,
I
that's
think it
cool.
was yeah, it was like me and Amanda and Julia. And like again, like the good vibes kind of just comes back, and like we were
Yeah.
hanging out a lot because, you know, it's like you have to be a bit more attentive, just like you know, keeping tabs on like you know, junior camp. But like you get that much more downtime kind of when they're just kind of running around and just like showing you things they made in the sandbox and stuff,
Right, yeah.
or like they're like, nope, you have to be a part of this. Like I have an ambitious idea for this thing I want to make out of sticks or something,
Right. Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, So I was always like in junior camp, I think, for like one session. I remember not being in video, and I was really you know, jealous of that, because just
Yeah.
like video was kind of like, oh, that's like the ultimate magic, even as like a CIT or assistant, of like what's happening behind the closed editing doors. And
Right.
you know, like especially like growing up, like you know, I kind of got to see like all of the greats kind of like video was always like this really powerful force of you know, just from like what was it like Bill Danner who like was in charge? Yeah, so
Yeah.
it was like from the Bill ones into like you know you and Greg Bell into like kind of like the various sort of you know tenures of like you know first like Kyle and Alex and then
Yeah.
you know Kyle and you know Mike Cowell and everybody, and oh actually yeah, and I think Lauren Siegel was part of that
Lauren,
too.
yep,
Yeah.
yep.
So I remember being very jealous of that, but yeah, I was always in like wood lore, I think, for or pioneering, like one of those.
Oh, nice.
So I got some woods time. I remember not being, I think I was put in archery like once or twice, but I remember like yeah, I was either like music or theater. I don't
Yep.
think I might have been boating, but I don't think I was like assigned to like boating or archery that much.
Yeah.
Like maybe once each in like you know 2 or 3 years, but yeah, so
Yeah.
kind of more of like the artsy like performance stations or like the wood stations, I think.
The whole group of guys that I associate you with, it's like you, Scott, Jack, Kyle. I throw Alex in there too. I don't even know if I'm right
Oh, he
about
was a
that.
part of it.
Okay,
No, you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got into a lot of mischief back in the day.
But honestly, Wes, like mischief is the word because I can't picture you doing anything like wrong. I feel like it's just like playful mischief. And then were you ever in charge of the bows or was that Alex?
I think that was like
I
Rob
can't.
McNicholas for a good part of like when
No.
I was there.
Rob, okay.
You know, because like Rob, like especially because like you know, like you know, it was like a really important thing to me that there were just like there was a little bit more Medfield representation because like you know, especially growing up, like you know, like thankfully, like looking back, there was a lot more than I think I gave it credit at the time,
Yeah.
but it was just like having like you know the McNicholas siblings there, like you know, because Dan was my age and like you know in high school with me and
Yeah.
you know Rob and everybody. It's like okay, good, we have this like one contingency, you know, because it's just like everyone else lives in like you know Norfolk and Franklin and you know like Holliston and all that, so it's just like you know, you're kind of over there in Medfield, like just out of the radius of like where it's easy for like your parents to drive you, like, you know, until you get your license. Like,
That's so funny. I always
yeah.
associated Medfield with camp. And I think
Oh,
it was
yeah.
probably because of Tom, but yeah. Oh, interesting that you felt a little left out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like with Jack living in, you know, like and
Yeah.
Scott, like kind of all living in much closer proximity. It's like, oh, they always get to hang out, and I'm like, you know, like
Right.
I can't always hang out as frequently because I live further away. But here's a question for you, Sarah, because I
Ooh.
don't know if you've actually talked about this on the podcast yet, but I remember it being like a really formative, like moment in camp for me. Is like I think I was a CIT when this happened. Did you talk about like? Do you remember when? There was that year that Gail wanted like the camper shirts to be the same color as the counselor shirts, and like you organized that kind of rebellion amongst the counselors where we all secretly got orange counselor shirts, and there was like that big reveal at like Flag for like
Yeah.
the first day of camp.
Oh yeah. Do I remember it? So that was Katie Crowley and I. Is that, I
Yeah.
forgot the reason we did that. Were the camper shirts green? Is that what the
Yeah,
issue
so
was?
yeah, I think it was, I was a CIT,
Yeah.
and I remember like, you know, it was like orientation, and Gail and Tom, like, you know, they're kind of like, you know, kind of more in that like, oh yeah, we're building up the team, like in the tent, like kind of for that section of it with like the icebreakers and everything,
Yeah.
where it's just like, oh yeah, we'll do the icebreakers, you know, and it's just like catch up with your friends, and
Right, yeah.
it's like, okay, yeah, 9 months have gone by, let's talk shop,
Absolutely.
you know, and I remember like Gail and Tom almost offhandedly were just like, oh yeah, and like you know, the camp t-shirt color for this year, it's gonna be green, like we thought it'd be fun, you know, because the campers all like, you know, like they want to feel more like the camp and feel more like the counselors. So and everyone was just like, okay, but how can campers like see us,
Right.
especially
Yes.
like, you know, on the first
The
day of
first
camp,
day.
when it's just like we're, you know, kind of, especially like, you know, if you have younger campers and they're like homesick for parents, or if this is like an emotionally overwhelming experience, and like there's
Right.
that kind of big rule where it's like you can always find someone in a green shirt to give you that hug or that reassurance, like,
Right.
and we were all just like, okay, how does that work if we're kind of like, you know, needles,
Yeah.
like not in the stack, you know, haystack, but like a needle stack.
Yeah.
So I just remember it was this big conspiracy, and like being a CIT, it was so exciting, because it was just like it was like you and Katie Crowley, and you were just coming around quietly, being like, "Okay, you need to give us your shirt size. This is what we're doing. This will not stand." And I just
Jeez,
remember, like, you know, growing up, like one of my favorite films of all time is like the Errol Flynn Robin Hood. And there's that big reveal at the end where like all of the merry men who have snuck it in, you know, to the bad guy's castle, like they take off their monk's robes, and suddenly it's like, oh, you know, like Trojan horse style, like, you
right.
know, all the good guys have invaded, you know, the villain's castle. So I just remember like kind of the epic reveal, because like Tom and Gail had no idea, where
Yeah.
it's just like, you know, kind of that secretive, like, you know, like nonchalant assistants kind of like sneaking around with like the big bags for the lunches, kind of handing out t-shirts, you know,
Right. Oh my God.
and it's like, you know, and I think Tom or Gail, I think it was Tom, was just like, and yeah, you know, everyone, and you know, for any campers, if you have any questions or you need anything, like always look for the grown-ups, and they have those, you know, green shirts that say staff on the back. And then like I think at that point, like you or Katie were like, well, actually, it's the orange shirts. And then boom, and then we all take off the, like, you know, the green
Yeah.
shirts and we had the orange ones underneath. And like I
Yeah.
think Tom was like, you know, especially floored, like, how did you guys do this without us knowing? You know, because I think you or Katie had access to like whoever the supplier was of the shirts, and you put in like a special order, and
Katie, that was Katie, who just, I don't know, knew how to talk to the supplier or whatever, like got the logo. And I remember, 'cause Mike Cowell, think was a CIT. No, if you were a CIT, maybe he wasn't
he was
yet.
probably like an explorer, like, because I think like he had a tribe with like Lauren and Nick, and they were
Yeah.
like, you know, some of like the very favored campers, because they were just like always doing really energetic things and singing stuff.
That's right.
So maybe they were like explorers, or
Maybe it was Mike, but I remember
yeah.
with then it must have been Jack being like, give us your t-shirt size, don't tell your dad. We basically like strong armed the staff. We were like, you have to do like, we're getting orange shirts and you have to get one.
Yeah.
And I do remember it was her name is Erin in archery. She was the one, because it was like the start of the second session. And Tom's like, all right, we're gonna kick it off. And Erin said, she said something to the effect of like, you know, change is good or something like that. And we all revealed it. And I remember Tom being like, that was pretty cool. Like, just like not being angry, I guess, which is another thing I like don't ever consider until it's too late. At first, like, what's going on? And then, and I remember him being like, you know, I saw some of the orange underneath. I didn't think anything of it, but he was pretty cool with it. That was pretty fun. Like, who did we think we are though, honestly, changing the shirt colors? But that was pretty fun.
Well, it was for a good reason. And like, you know, if there's a hill for like everyone at camp to die on, like, I feel like that was kind of like a cute hill.
I had forgotten that we did it because everyone was wearing green. I had totally forgotten the reason for that.
Because it might be different now, like, because I think they actually just did do, like, you know, green shirts a few years ago. I remember hearing about that, and I was like, wait, but what about the orange shirt moment?
Right.
But yeah, I remember that was, like, a big deal. It just as a CIT, it was, like, you know, because I think I was, like, a first year, maybe even. But it's, like, the most exciting thing, because it's, like, oh, a camp-wide conspiracy that not, you know.
Yeah. That's, like, your first taste of kind of being like looking behind the curtain, being like, oh wow, and like being like, oh, I'm privy to this is cool.
Or especially kind of like the stakes of just like, you know, I think it was like an episode you had with like the Katies, where it's just like, as a CIT, like, but you're part of like one of those you know off campus trips to get iced coffees or something, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to learn how to have a poker face and play this so cool,
right?
Because this is like this cool forbidden thing. But like we could get like, you know, dead anted the moment we get back. Like if you know, you just don't play it cool. So it's like
dead anted. It's true. It's a great
it's
verb.
True. Yeah.
I mean, and the thing that is so great about camp is that like these are all like, believe it or not, these are all kind of life skills that that you're learning from. Again, these people you totally look up to, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. I think I understand what we're doing here. It's a really neat relationship to have to kind of grow and become your own person, but be like, oh, I really like the way that person does it. I'm going to model myself after them and do that. So just, you know, one of the countless things that camp gave us.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, like for me, the other thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately, like, and I know Brittany talked about it on her episode, was just like kind of how much you can learn about like crowd work just at Sing, like, you know, if you just want to like workshop, like kind of like a talent or something. Because I just remember like, you know, it's not to say I took it for granted, but especially when I was an older camper and like a counselor, like I always brought in my saxophone for various things.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about. And I remember it was such a thing where it was just like, you know, especially in college, like I was known as a saxophone player because, you know, I would always just be performing in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, like never stage fright or anything like that. And I think it's just from camp. It's just like, oh yeah, no one's going to boo. It's, you know, that never happens. Like,
right. Yeah.
You know,
100% success rate. Well, yeah, you learn how to be up in front of a crowd, like full stop. And that gives you confidence to do just about anything, honestly.
Oh yeah.
when your biggest fear is getting dead anted, as you say, which feels like a real thing in the moment, but when you're like, ooh, but there could be this consequence, you're like, all right, well, I'm gonna go with it, see what happens.
Well, I feel like it's like a rite of passage as a counselor, because it's like, if you have not been, you know, dead anted like once or twice over your career, like, have you really, like, kind of pushed the limits of, like, you know, the sorts of things you can do at camp? Because normally there's, like, a, you know, like, I think Gray Squirrel was, like, always the default of, like, a minor infraction.
For sure.
But it's, like, okay, like, you did something, like, quote-unquote, like, serious. You know, something where maybe there's, like, a pretty funny story behind it.
Right.
And, like, that, like, you know, precipitated dead ants. Because, like, I think Tom would always hold out on dead ants to make it, like, kind of like, hit a little, harder.
Yeah.
So it's like, like you kind of need to have that story, like for whatever, like, infraction you had. So it's just like, I
Yeah.
think it's like, just like a badge of honor, like if you've done it like once or twice.
I think did you ever have to do it, Wes?
Well, yeah, like we were saying, like, I had the tables turned on me that one time, and
Oh, yep.
I think I probably got dead-ended like, one or two more times.
I wouldn't have pegged you as someone who got in trouble,
Well, I was like
except for when
always.
you try to get someone else in trouble.
Yeah. Well, no, but I was like a bit more of like the sheltered one, I think, of like kind of like the friend group we were talking about. And that was
Yeah.
really fun for me too, because it's like, oh, here are all these, cool friends that I have who, like,
Yeah.
it kind of gives me permission to kind of like, take like risks socially, which is like a pretty powerful thing at that age. But I like to think enough of them rubbed off on me that it's like, again, like I'd have to think about, but I'm pretty sure I got like dead-ended for like a really good reason at one point or another.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when Kyle reaches out and then and is like, "Hey, do you want to do this Maniacs podcast?" What are you thinking? Like thinking about camp? Like what like all comes rushing back, or like what kind of attachment do you have to it that you're like, "Oh man, I really like that place," or it was okay. I'm just curious about like being away from it for so long, like what kind of came rushing back initially?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's been like a week-long process for me, about, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because like part one of it was like, Kyle and I had been out of touch for a couple of years just because of COVID.
Right.
And like having him text me out of the blue, like at first I was like, oh my gosh, Kyle, like I haven't heard from, you in like so long. And it was
Yeah.
immediately like, okay, I have to reconnect with Kyle as soon as possible, because it's just like, he and I were like so close at camp for so many years, and like
Yeah.
we got into so many crazy adventures behind the scenes.
Sure.
So at first I was just kind of remembering like kind of all the crazy hijinks we got up to, because I was like, I was never the face of like a lot of Kyle's like, better pranks and stuff.
Yep.
But I was definitely like an enabler, or very frequently like a an accomplice for some of them. Because I think that was part of like, the performance between the two of us, like, talking about like kind of me being a bit more sheltered and having friends kind of like, help me like break my shell. Because it's like Kyle would be like, okay, here's this thing, we're gonna do this crazy thing and it's gonna be
Yeah.
hilarious. And I'd be like, but we can't do that. And then it's like, no, we're gonna do it and you're gonna do it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And hilarity would ensue.